Lord, we just realize how awesome and how mighty you are. Lord, just in our response to you, sometimes we've been so weak, been so passive, Lord, been so apathetic. God, forgive us. God, fill us. Lord, we need you more than anything. Lord, if you aren't here, if you don't come, God, we don't want to be here. So, Lord, fill us tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way with us tonight. Lord, we just need you. Lord, we just give ourselves to you. We just ask you today, Holy Spirit, fill us. Lord, not to live lives that are, Lord, just every day. Lord, that there really would be a difference, that we really would be different than the world around us, that they really would see your glory, that they would really see your mercy, that they would really see your love, Lord, that they would really see your greatness, God, in us. Lord, forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for being average and ordinary when we serve a supernatural, mighty God. Forgive us, God, for when we come into your presence and we have to be pumped up or encouraged to worship, God. Fill us with a sense of awe and a sense of worship and a sense of just, Lord, reverential fear in front of your face, God. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, this is a building, but God, when we come into your house to worship you, there's something more about this than just bricks and mortar, God, that we're coming as your people into your presence. Lord, help us to realize that tonight. Lord, even now as we're going to approach your word, God, fill us, Lord, with a sense of wonder and a sense of awe, God, as we prepare to hear, Lord, your living word for us tonight. Lord, fill us. Lord, guide us. God, instruct us. God, discipline us, if that's what we need. But Lord, we need you. Not satisfied, Lord, with just doing church and doing life. But God, we want to live in your presence. We want to live to make a difference in this world. We sing about it. We talk about it. But God, help us to be the difference. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. I don't know about you, but I know this, and I think this a lot every Sunday morning, so I'm just going to tell you this. When we come to church to worship God, he's here. He's always here. God's always here. God's always at work. God's presence is always waiting for us to reach out to him. But so many times we come with just such an attitude of real apathy, an attitude of let's see what'll happen. Let's see what God might do for me today. When God just wants us to come with an attitude that we're here to worship him, the living God, the Savior of the world, the God who gave his son so that we could live. That's if God never did another thing, that's everything. He saved us from hell. That should inspire worship in our hearts. I listened because I came in here yesterday morning, and I tell you, I could feel the difference in the place. I felt an air of expectancy. I felt like an attitude of readiness to hear from God. And it ticks me off. I'm sorry, but it ticks me off because it doesn't have to just be during conference time. God wants to speak to us all the time. God wants to connect with us all the time, and not just here, but at home. I got really ticked off today. I'm sorry. I got ticked off so big. Got a call from John and Arda, and Arda lost her sight today during the day for a brief period of time. And we got the prayer chain going, and we prayed, and she received a good part of her sight back, but I'm still ticked because I'm just tired and sick of seeing people halfway healed, halfway successful, struggling financially, struggling in your families. I'm sick of it. I'm just ticked off and really, really, really sick of it. And it's time. This is what this house was established for. A house of worship, passionate. I remember in 78 when we were in this building, I was a kid. I was 14 years old. This is my son Levi's age. And we would load a pulpit up on top of an old station wagon, drag the sound system in here, set up, tear down, do whatever. But we came here. It was hot. The chairs stunk. The worship wasn't that great. But we just loved God, and we wanted to worship Him. We came every week waiting to see what God would do. If we want to see God in this house, we have to come with that kind of urgency, that kind of expectancy. We have to come with hearts prepared to hear from Him, hearts prepared to receive from Him. I'm tired. Tired and sick of people being sick. I'm tired of it. It doesn't have to be this way. God is here and He's present to heal. This is the culture, the DNA of this house is that God is a healing God and He's here, and that while we're worshiping and praising Him, that He will heal people. But you got to come expecting. You got to come here believing that God will. I'm tired of people struggling financially. It doesn't have to be this way. In a world that's struggling financially, God's people can live above it. I don't understand everything that's gone on over this past few years, but I'm just telling you, I'm sick of it. We're drawing a line in the sand in this house. We're going to see people healed. We're going to see people prosper. We're going to see people do well in their families. I'm tired of it. And if you're tired of it, stand with me. But it's going to take us standing together, us approaching the house with a sense of reverence and fear and a sense of expectancy of God's presence in our life if we're going to see this. It's not going to come in here just because we have a nice sound system and you know, lights and whatever. This building is a tool. Good God, thanks for it. But you know what? If we have to sell it and meet in a high school gym, we'll do that. I don't care about the building. I don't care. I just want God's presence in our lives. And that's what I've been talking to you about for a month now. Just tired of living casual Christian lives. I'm tired of watching as some of you, God's blessed you financially and you're not giving. You're not giving back to God the first. You're not giving Him back what He wants from you, what He requires from you. And you wonder why that things aren't going right. I just believe that God is calling you to stand up now and live by His word. And I hope I'm ticking some people off, because I'm just ticked. I am fed up. I'm done. I'm fed up. I want to see people healed. I want to see people worship. I want to see people prosper. That doesn't mean you got to have money to roll in. I don't care about that. I could care less. And Christine and I have made that commitment. We don't need much in our life. We just got to serve God. And if we had to sell everything, God calls us to Africa tomorrow, we're going. We're going. And I don't care. I live in a mud hut. I don't care. I just want, like Moses said, if you don't go with us, Lord, we're not going. And if we don't make that kind of commitment to God, and we're never going to see God really change our community. And we talk about it. I'm trying to be nice, and I'm a nice guy generally. I don't like making people upset. I don't like hurting anybody's feelings. But I'm just saying, if we're going to change this community, then you guys all got to stand up. There's people that complain. There's people that say, what's wrong with the church? But we got to be the change. We got to be the difference. We've got to stand up and be God's people. So I just want to do this tonight. I want to bless these guys, and this is not my offering speech, but I'm not an offering speech kind of guy, but I really just want to bless these guys, and I'm thankful that they'll come and speak into our lives and into our hearts. These are men of God that watch out for my soul. They're people that I love. They're fathers to me. They're fathers to this house. I want to bless them. As a board, we've already set a number in our minds, and we've had to set a number that's generally lower than we would normally give, because we just realize that we've had a lack in the house. We've had a lot of lack in this house, and I don't think it should be this way anymore. I want you to stand in faith that you'll be able to give something significant. And I'm not trying to talk you. I don't care. It's between you and God. If you don't give, we're going to give anyway. So it's just, as a house, we're going to give. But I just want you to, in honor of God, over this next 3 days, I want you to think about what you can give, and I want you to give generously to God as an act of your will, saying, God, I want to just draw a line here. I just believe that God wants to do something great. God brought us to this new building for a reason. And it's not just to have a nice facility where we could sit around drinking coffee. I like the coffee. I like the fellowship. I know that's what life in, as Christians is about. Koinonia, getting together, sharing Jesus with each other. But it isn't everything. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. There's a world out there that's dying and going to hell, and we got to care about that. So sometime over this next couple days, take some time, pray with your family. I don't care if you got to redo your budget for the week or the month. Figure it out and just let's bless these guys. Let's believe together. I believe in God. Here's what I'm believing. We have some people in this house that have struggled with sickness for a long, long time. Arda, you know, she got her eyes got better for a while, but they weren't better. They were reasonable. I'm believing God that she's going to have a total healing. Monica, been struggling with her hip for a long, long time. And I'm just tired of it. I'm just believing God that he's going to heal her hip completely. Cole, my nephew, he's come a long, long way. And God's done a real miracle in his life. But I'm believing God that he's going to touch that body and that mind and heal it completely. There's some people here that, you know, have wanted some things from God physically. I'm not free to share, but I'm telling you that I'm believing God that those things in their life will be broken so that they can have some of the desires of their heart. But that's going to take us standing together and believing together and really pressing into the presence of God. It's not like a formula, but it's just God's presence is the only thing that can change things. So if we don't come with this kind of attitude in worship like tonight, because I can feel this in the air, there's more of a... If we don't come with this attitude on Sunday morning, we're hypocrites. We're just hypocrites. We could be pumped up, we could be thrilled, we could be jumping, but if it doesn't mean anything next Sunday morning when we just come to worship the Lord in our house in a normal way, then it's a hypocrisy. I love the Lord. I love this house. I love the people. I love you all so much. But I'm just tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired, honestly. I'm tired of coming to church and worried about people being bugged by each other instead of just looking at how we could reach the world together. That's the thing. I want to reach this world. And I told God when I took on the pastorate of this church, if we're not going to reach this world, I don't want to do it. If we sit here for the rest of our lives and not do anything, I'm born for something greater than that. And I know all of you were too. God brought us here for a purpose, and I think we got to fulfill that purpose. So now that I'm done, Pastor Ted, why don't you come?
Well, I think he said enough we could go home and get on our knees and repent and get right with God, right? But I just want to say this tonight. You know, your pastor laid out his heart tonight to you, and I want you to know that Pastor Ralph might not be the guy that'll be on national television with a ministry, but he has a heart of compassion for this house and for you. And you can't put a price on that. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, there's something in our world that we get attracted to success. But success can let us down. We need to be attracted to that which is real. Right? There's people out there making a lot of money, but they're killing people, getting young girls into prostitution and giving our kids drugs are successful as far as the world's concerned. But see, I believe this man here wants to be more than successful. He has a heart that he wants to make a difference. So I just felt I wanted to say that you're a good man no matter what you go through. I know I've had some talks to him. Sometimes I've been there, and I can say this now that I've stepped aside from pastoring. Sometimes it's difficult, and you come home at night, and you wonder, my, what's really happening? What's going on? Every pastor needs a church to stand behind him. Because you have no idea the devils that we fight just to survive and believe that God's going to do supernatural things in the church. But it becomes a whole lot easier when you know there's a crowd behind you, right? And can I say this? And you know, I'm leaving Wednesday night, so you can throw stones after I get out of here, okay? But you know, It's not enough, as he said, just to come to church. We got to come believing that God wants to do something every time we gather together. And can I say this too? Not God just do something on that person. God do something on me. Right? That all of us are touched and let God do it. And so I trust that you'll stand with Pastor Ralph and Christine. He's got just a soft, humble heart. And I'll tell you, that's what God's looking for. God's not looking for superstars. He's just looking for willing hearts that'll make a difference for the glory of God. Amen? Is that okay what I said?
Yeah.
And I tell you, if there ever was a day that we need to unite together, because there's a spirit, listen to me, as we're watching and seeing a spirit of divorcement that's devouring and destroying marriages, it's the same spirit that's coming to churches to divorce people from where God's called them to be. Not everybody that leaves a church is of God. Now, some it might be, but some it's a spirit of divorcement. And it all comes under an angel of light where the Lord said, I'm so sick of tiring hearing the Lord said. Because if the Lord said, it's going to line up with the Word of God and everybody's going to feel good about it. Now everybody just sends me an email and says, God told us to leave the church. They don't even want to come and talk to you anymore. But I believe there's a time we need to get our roots down, because just like I said to someone the other day, I'll be married 40 years in September. And probably from my wife's side and from mine, there's probably been a whole lot of times we could have felt like getting divorced. Right? Now some of you don't look like you're so self-righteous sitting there that you don't understand. You know, there's sometimes you might not say with your mouth, but inside, why did I marry this woman? Or why did I marry this man? But you're still together because you walk through that stuff. And in church we go through stuff, but we stay and stick it out and we come through, we'll be better on the other side. Right? And we need to recognize that God wants to do in their lives. So this is a good man. I'm glad that he's my friend. And I want to be a support and strength to him, because I believe that this is a generation that God's raising up to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Is that okay? Amen. Secondly, I am honored to see so many of you here on a Monday night. I really am. This really thrills my heart. If you can come out on a Monday night, man, you're believing God to do something great. And I'm just thrilled to see you here on a Monday night, because, you know, people after Sunday and whatever say, well, let's take a break. But thank you for coming tonight. And I know that the Lord is pleased with your faithfulness in coming. And I just trust that you'll open your heart and receive what God wants to say to you tonight, and that you will receive something. I hope tonight that we'll not just have a message, because I'm really not trying to preach a message tonight. I felt like more I'm going to exhort tonight. Some things are kind of on my heart, what I felt Sunday when I spoke, and then what Pastor Paul has been sharing about the presence of God and seeing Jesus. We need to have him exalted. You see, the problem is many times we can talk about Jesus, sing about Jesus, but it's a whole other thing to experience him. And what God wants is not a church that sings about him, talks about him, but the presence of the living Christ is in our midst. Because when he's here, it makes all the difference in the world. See, the church does not change you. You are the church. You change the church. You get fixed, and the church will get fixed. You hear what I'm saying? You open up and let God do something alive and fresh within your heart, then the church is going to be alive, and it's going to run off on somebody. And you get beside someone, you're going to get contagious. Like, as it works in the opposite, as soon as the person starts to sniffle and sneeze, you know, get away from me because I don't want to get it. Well, I believe we're going to get contagious with the power of God. We're going to get up against people who are going to rub on them. And they're going to say, I don't know what happened, but man, I feel something coming on. Well, that's the power of the Holy Ghost that's working in them, right? Because when we're alive, we have something that's going to be given to others that's alive, right? Even when old Elisha died and put him down in the pit, I tell you, they threw someone down there, and boy, I tell you, the guy came alive. See, even, boy, God's got something within us that we can make a difference. So thank you for coming out tonight, and I just trust that God will speak to each and every one of our hearts. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. Well, our theme, I don't know if he called it a theme, but our theme is refresh. And I like that term. I didn't know that until I came in Sunday morning, that there was a theme. And when I saw it up there, the nice bright colors of spring and that was greens and whatever, boy, that's life coming forth. And God wants to bring new life. And there's just something about that, right? Because we all need moments, as I talked Sunday morning, about the fact that there is a shaking going on. The shaking is something that God's trying to alert our attention to, that even in the midst of the shaking, we don't have to be shaking. See, but God's letting things come to let us see where we're really standing, or that he's trying to shake the things out of us that have no value, that we'll hang on to the things that will carry us through. And I believe it's important that we open our hearts to that. And so God's trying to get our attention again, that the church can really become what it wants to, what he wants it to become, and that there can be refreshing. And why we need times like this? We don't need a time like this. I don't need another place to preach. I'm sure that you don't need to have another service of 3 or 4 days if we're really honest. But the reason we do this is because we all need a season to be refreshed. Are you with me? We all need that. Just in the natural, we'll say, let's take off for a weekend and just get away from it all. That's a time of refreshing. A vacation is a time of refreshing. There's nothing wrong with that. But I believe in the spiritual realm, we need a moment like this where we pull ourselves aside from the regular routine, shut everything off and say, hey, I'm going to open my heart that God can refresh me. We're in big trouble if we come to the point and think, I don't need to be refreshed anymore. Because refreshing is something we need all the time in our lives. And so I asked Christine, she'd give me a bottle of this because, you know, everybody has some of these in your house. And, you know, sometimes the things that, you know, you don't like in your house, my wife hates after she does fish, the smell of fish, and she gets embarrassed if something's in the house. So last week I was down in the States and there's certain candles at Bath and Body Works. Is that what you call it? I think it is. That she wants, so I have to bring them home that she can put them in and get rid of the smell in the house. But all of us have these kind of things in our house too. You see, because sometimes with these, usually you find these in the bathroom, there's some stink in there. Come on, let's get honest. Sometimes we stink. And we need to be refreshed, right? I hope you put some deodorant on today. That's kind of, right? You with me? So, see, with this really, and Pastor Paul's been talking about this, if I can use this tonight, this is like the presence of Jesus in the house. Things get stale, so we come over here, you need a shot, right? And over here, you kind of been miserable today, we need to give you a shot. And John, did you stink today? We got to give you a shot over here, right? See, we need those things in our lives. And if I kept doing this, there would be an aroma that would fill the house that would change everything in here. Are you with me? That's what God wants to do. We're not here just to have another service. He wants to walk down here and just say, hey, here's a season of refreshing. Let it come into your life. Hey, let it happen. And as we open our hearts so that we say, man, it's starting to stink, but God's starting to do something alive. Right? I was preaching another sermon about this. I wasn't talking about this aspect. And I went to my friend at the Catholic Church and got some of the incense stuff. I didn't know you just had to use a little bit. So I bought a whole bunch in there because I was talking about the presence of God and I want the smoke to fill the house because the Old Testament talks about smoke fills the house. Man, I almost had everybody on the floor, almost killed them because I had so much smoke coming out. But I tell you, the Bible says when the presence of God came, the priest fell down and couldn't even minister because God was in the house. It's not because I'm here, my brother's here. It's not because there's another service. It's because we're desiring for the presence of God to invade the house. For when He comes, we can recognize He can do everything. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. He will do something in our lives, right? So the whole thing is God wants to bring a refreshing. And so He pulls us apart that He might do something great within our lives. And so I'm just asking God tonight, Lord, as we've been moving through now, we're in Monday night, that Lord will just come and there'll be a refreshing in your life. But you have to respond to that. You see, this thing here is a refresher. Have you figured that out yet? But sitting right there is no value. Someone has to, right? See, God is a refresher, but He's not going to push the button. You do it. You say, I'm willing to receive that fragrance from the Lord. I'm willing to have a fresh touch from Him. And so that's what I'm trying to encourage you tonight. When God begins to speak to your heart, you say, yes, Lord. I might have to buy you a new one by the time I get finished tonight. But anyway, do you get the point that I'm trying to say? Because He's called us together, your pastor called us together, that we need to have a time of refreshing within each and every one of our lives. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 6, shall we? Mark chapter 6. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Ralph, for having me and Christine for coming. He booked me quite a while back, and I said, man, I'll put that on the calendar right away because I just love you people to be with you, and we've made some wonderful friends, and to see some new ones, that excites my heart too. And as my brother mentioned this morning, I'm glad to be with him too. He said this morning that we ministered together for 16 years, and then we've kind of had a 20-year hiatus where we've been kind of separate. We were together, but to not speak. And so it was nice for us to get together. So thank you for having us together. It's been a privilege to be with him and Elaine. And I wish Gloria could have came, but maybe next time. I've been on a road spree this time. And so She just finds it hard to dump her suitcase and repack, because I just went home, dumped, repacked, and took off. So that's why she's not here. But thank you for having us. Mark chapter 6. Father, I pray tonight, because I know that you, I can do nothing. In the natural, I do have the gift of the gab, but it's of no value unless the power of the Spirit of God takes my words and anoints them. I'm not here tonight, Lord, to entertain. I'm not here just to preach another sermon, because it's another night that demands a message. But Holy Spirit, I pray tonight that I might be able to speak your heart, your desire. But I also pray, Lord, that there be people here tonight who will be willing to press the refresh button, that as the word comes forth and say, Lord, I receive that, I will allow you to walk into my life. So, Father, my desire tonight, as I ask for the Holy Spirit to walk into this room, walk down these aisles and through these seats, and touch our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Life is made up of moments. Some of us will have more moments than others, because no one's guaranteed that we'll make the old age pension, make 65 or 70 or whatever. But life is made up of moments. Most of the moments that we have in life, what we would probably call just ordinary and routine moments, just going through what we do in life. That's just normal. But in the midst of the majority of our ordinary moments, there are definite moments when God wants to set direction or focus within your life. Those of us that are older, if we will look back, we know that there are those moments that are defined. That those moments, maybe some of you are sitting here tonight and you know that you had one of those moments, but you did not heed it or you neglected it, and now when you look back, you feel that you missed something because it was the moment that was there that you had to respond to it. Others of you tonight know that there are other moments that came to you and something leaped within you that said, I gotta yield to that. I gotta set my direction towards that. I gotta focus on that. And it's changed a lot of our lives. Let me use one thing. Every one of us in this room that knows Jesus somewhere in the ordinary moments of life had a moment where you responded to accept Jesus Christ. Here's the opposite of the moment. Where would you be tonight if it was not for that moment that you surrendered to? Because that moment of significance has had an impact upon the ordinary moments of your life. I have men, because I never grew up like this, but I'm sure that most of us can have some story to tell, but I have men in my church that say, if it was not for that moment, the direction my life was going, I know I would be dead today. But a moment changed their life. You see, one of the things that we need to understand is that there are moments when God comes to speak. There are moments when God comes, as the two words I use tonight, to give direction and to refocus the direction He wants in our lives. Those are the moments that we need to give attention to. Now, I'm not trying to sensationalize a moment, but I do believe that when a pastor like this has a heart and a burden for his people, calls for 4 days to come together for a season of refreshing, it's a moment not just to have more church services. It's not a moment to see how faith you are. It's a moment where God wants to do something in us that can change your tomorrows because you give room for this moment. Are you with me? Those are the moments that matter. Now, I don't want to go off on this tonight, but there are three major moments in my life that set direction. Three major ones. There probably is others that are significant. I could talk about when I surrendered to the call of God upon my life. I remember I was in the back of a church, and that was a wonderful moment. The moment at my mom's knee when I accepted the Lord as my Savior, that was a moment. The moment that my wife said she would marry me and we got married, that was a moment. But there are three major moments that carried me through ministry where God spoke to me privately about something and I responded to it. The first one, I'll just talk about this one for a minute, was when we were just pastoring an ordinary church thinking, have an ordinary people, let's babysit everybody to get to heaven. And God walked into my office one day and I was sitting there and I was saying, God, there's got to be more than this. And I had a revelation that day or a vision where I saw the Lord come in and spoke to me and said, Ted, the ark of the presence of God is coming down the road. It's not in Zion yet, but it's coming down the road. That's what launched what he talked about today a little bit, us into the charismatic renewal that burst something in our church because we accepted the moment and entered into it. It's a defining moment in my life. And no matter if you look at the squiggly wigglies that went on the charismatic move and the weirdness, I don't care. I know there was some of that. It still was a moment where God did something supernatural. And I will go to my grave knowing about that moment because God did something in our hearts that turned us around from just ordinary Pentecostal boys that said there's something bigger, there's something greater. And that moment we said, let's take the risk and let's go for it. Did it cost us? Yes. But it brought far more greater benefits than the cost if we'd have went the other direction. It was a moment. There are moments that God gives us. And we need to understand how important they are for each and every one of us. And I pray tonight with, I can only say it. Because I'm only a spokesman. But I believe when God, through a pastor, calls his people together, and you respond like you have tonight on a Monday night, it's because God wants it to be a moment for you. He's not looking at you just, as I said, being in another service. He wants it to be a moment where he can have an encounter with you. That is so important. Life is made up of moments. You see, there are four things that God is after. Only four. And we need to recognize that they are significant for each and every one of our lives. God wants you, number one, to love him. Are you with me in that? You may say, well, Pastor Ted, that's very normal. Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot. Oh, yes, it does. You see, loving God is not just throwing my hands up in the air and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 21, they who keep my commandments are they who love me. He wasn't talking about what we know the Ten Commandments. He's talking about walking in the ways of the God is the one that loved me. I don't love God because I say, I love you, I love you, I love you. There's many men say, I love you to their wives, but they got a mistress down the road somewhere. Right? You can say, I love you to God, but have another mistress in your life. The real person that loves God is a person that says, I will keep your commandments. I will walk in the ways of God. So number one, all God expects is that you will love him. Number two, God wants us to obey him. Just obey. The old hymn that we don't sing a lot today, but I grew up, cut my teeth on it in a Pentecostal church. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God is looking for an obedient people. Pastor Paul talked about it this morning. We can't come and say, well, whatever I give to God is sufficient. That's what we're facing in our world today. Well, God, you should be happy that I gave you this hour of my life. No, God wants us to be obedient. Let me stop here, because I said I'm going to exhort tonight. If I don't get finished tonight, that's okay. I'll pick it up somewhere else. Is that okay? Because I feel I want to help you this whole thing, that we're having a season of refreshing. There are moments that God wants to speak to us, and I believe with all my heart that these 4 days that God is trying to say something to this house. And I'll talk about that in a moment, why I feel that. But there's something significant that you need to know. When God wants to resurrect something in our hearts, that we obey. And in obedience, something begins to happen in the house. I remember we had a Saturday night prayer at our church for a long time. And, in the summer it became more difficult because it had people, it just seemed like the devil would bring people from the church on Friday or Thursday and say, oh, we're having a barbecue on Saturday night. And I'd say, well, man, don't they even know we're fighting powers and principalities? Why can't they have a barbecue some other night? And I would walk, it's about a mile and a half from my house to the church, and I'd walk and I'd be growling all the time. Why do I have to go and they can stay at home and have a barbecue? And I was ticked off. I mean, I was like you. I was ticked off. And I went like that. I'd be going down instead of praying, God, let your presence be in the room and thank you for those that'll come tonight. And I'll appreciate for who is ever there. I was ticked off. They're out there barbecuing. I hope that steak burns. Here the world's going to hell and we need to see a move of God in the church and they're going home having a barbecue and we got to do all this. And I would get to the prayer meeting. I'd be ticked off and annoyed in my spirit. And I couldn't pray because they weren't there. Finally, God spoke to me and said, Ted, here's the problem. The problem is you haven't given me your life. You're giving me some hours, and when it goes over those hours, you think now I'm on your time. He said, if you gave me 24 hours of your day, you would never get ticked off because you'd recognize this is God's time. You see, if we gave God our lives, we wouldn't get ticked off if the service went 25 minutes over what we're regularly accustomed to. Because it's God's time. The reason we get annoyed is that God, you're on my time now. Right? That's why we get mad. But if you surrender your life to God and say, God, my whole life is yours. And from that moment, it didn't matter if 3 came or 35 came to prayer. God did something in my heart that all I had to do was obey. It changed something. So number one, God wants you to love him. He wants you to obey him. And number three, he wants you to trust him. That's where faith comes in. You see, obey him is righteousness and justice. Righteousness is my relationship with him. Justice is my relationship with you. If I can't love God truly, I can't love you. Right? So he wants me to have, just to trust him. That's important. And the fourth one is, and this is a big one. I could stop and preach on this, but I can't tonight. He wants you to remember him. Because the biggest thing that happens and why we need refreshing moments like this, where Sunday morning is not sufficient, we need a time that we set apart because we need to remember of the things that he did in our lives to encourage us that no matter what we're facing tomorrow, he is still God. Are you with me? And so throughout the whole Word of God, you will find that God constantly tells the people to be remembrance. When we come to communion, we say it all the time. This do in remembrance of me. Because God knew that we would forget. We'd get overwhelmed with the circumstance or the situation. Something's not going right and we'd get ticked off. And so God wants us to remember. As Pastor Paul shared, I think it was this morning or last night or whenever it was, he talked about if we ever wrote down all the good things to be thankful for, that's what you're doing is just being remembering God is good. Right? So God wants you to love him. He wants you to obey him. He wants you to trust him. And he wants you to remember him. Because that's so important in each and every one of our lives. Why? Because God wants to bring a refreshing in our heart. And so we gather together tonight that he might refresh us. We gather together and said, Lord, I'm open. I want you to do something in my life. I want to put my finger on the trigger of that refresher and I want you to come and stir something up my spirit again. I might be going through hell. I might have some difficulties. I might have things that are not going right. But God, in the midst of that, you can still bring the refresher. Right? You can go to a stinky old bathroom and you refresh it enough, you can make it look smell pretty good. Right? So God is saying in the midst of your smell, whatever's going on in your life, you can come and God can refresh it and revive it and renew it and stimulate it that you can see God do something great. We have to learn how to do that. So he brings us together to refresh us. Because, hey, I've been in this my whole life. I'm 62 years of age. I've been on this road a long time. I still need seasons of refreshing. Everybody does. Everybody needs those moments where God will supernaturally bring forth a refreshing within our lives. I'm still in my introduction. Is that okay? That might be as far as we'll get tonight, but that's okay. That's why I never say I got an introduction, 3 points, whatever, so nobody knows when I'm starting, nobody knows when I'm going to end. Right? But here's what's important too. Listen to me very carefully. This is why we need seasons of refreshing. It happens to everybody. I wish I could talk about this tonight as well. I could show you this from the Word of God. The reason that you and I need seasons of refreshing, because we leak. We leak. You know what I mean by that? I'm not talking about going to the bathroom to say that, okay? Just get you straightened out. But we are leaky vessels. We have to constantly be filled. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk about a bit tonight, is not a one-time deal. You know, when we got baptized in water, they'd give us a certificate. We'd put that certificate up, and, you know, we'd put it on the wall that we've arrived, and we got us, everything else in the church we got, we took this course, and that we got a certificate. Well, we might have not got one for being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We almost acted like that. I'm arrived now. I got my certificate. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, you might have the Holy Ghost, but if he's not alive and working in your life today, all you got is an experience from yesterday. He wants us to constantly be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Because we leak. Now here's the point I want to say. The farther we get away from our first encounter with God, which is our born-again experience, or farther away from a refreshing encounter, something begins to change. We remove ourselves from the presence and we find ourselves gripped in form. We go to church. We lift our hand. Now, can I get honest with you tonight? Is that okay? Right? You know, you don't have to nod at me. You just have to say nothing, okay? Because I've been there too. You can be in the presence of God like tonight when worship's gone and your heart can be a million miles away. And you can, without even a conscious effort, say, oh, hallelujah! You didn't even know what you hallelujahed. Right? Because we're here, but our hearts are far away. Because the farther we get away from a fresh encounter with God, there are two things that happen to our lives. Number one, we leave out, or let me first start with this. We cut off the process that God is there. See, what got you into a time of refreshing, you got hungry for something new. And that hunger pushed you against all the obstacles. I just need a fresh touch in God. I need God to do something. See, the way he talked tonight, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. What he was talking about tonight is that there was something pressing him and pushing him. What happens over a period of time, we cut off the process that gets us there. But expect the same result as when we were in it. You hear what I'm saying? Right? Secondly, we leave out certain principles that were a major part that led us or helped us live in that experience with God. So we leave out certain things but expect the same result. So God has to come and refresh us. God knows what we're like as human beings. He set it up that way that there are seasons of refreshing. The book of Acts talks about that. There come seasons of refreshing. That means if there are seasons of refreshing, there must have been seasons when there was not refreshing. I mean, if you got seasons of refreshing, if it says that seasons, it didn't say all the time is refreshing. It said there are seasons of refreshing, then we have to draw from that the season when they're not. But we honor God. But God brings a season of refreshing to revive you and to refresh you in the things of God. That it's not just church again. It's not just, oh, we're standing 35 minutes tonight worshiping God. Oh, we sang that song last night. Right? But when you're refreshed, something comes alive within your spirit. Right? See, because why we need that, I don't know if you're taking notes tonight, but why we need to come back to refreshing every one of us, and why we need times like this. In our church, all the years I pastored for 38 years, we always had seasons of refreshing. Because we all needed that within our lives. It was time where God would do something great within us. You see, because the reason we need it, because something happens to us that we don't really set to happen, but it happens. And here's what number one, what happens. We start to focus on our habits in serving God instead of our hearts. Well, I go to church, so pastor, leave me alone. I tithe, so leave me alone. That's all good and wonderful, and I admire if you're doing that. But habits is not sufficient in itself. We got to focus on our hearts. Is my heart alive? Right? I can have a habit to get my wife flowers for her birthday and flowers for our anniversary and flowers for whatever. That's a habit. But is my heart in love with her? You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? See, and that's what's important for each and every one of us. We focus on, secondly, when we get removed away from a season of refreshing, God wants to bring us back. We focus on our goodness instead of our godliness. Come on now. How good I am. Well, I'm better than the guy down the street. And that's wonderful. We need to be good. But God wants to focus on my godliness. Number three, we focus on our knowledge of the Word of God instead of our obedience to the Word of God. See, when we go around sometimes and say, here's my blockage for something. I know that verse. I heard that before. So Pastor Ralph gets up and says, let's turn to John 3:16. The first thing, well, I know what that verse is. I can sleep because I've heard that thousands of times. See, because we focus on our knowledge of the Word of God instead of our obedience to the Word of God. Now, here's a big one for some who's been in this for a while. We start to focus on our spiritual age instead of our spiritual hunger. Well, I've been in this for 35 years. You've been in it for 35 seconds. What can you tell me? See, my spiritual age, I'm mature now. Or I'm mature now that I don't need a refreshing. When there's an altar call given, I don't need to respond to it. I can sit in my seat. You see, the reason sometimes you need to respond is to be an activator for the younger generation to know, hey, God wants to do something in my life when I move. You with me in that? But you see, we kind of focus on my spiritual age. Well, I've been in this for 65 years, and I've seen a lot of things that you haven't seen. No, we need to focus on our spiritual hunger. See, God never went after people. Well, Jesus, when he's on earth, never went after people that were righteous. He went after people that were hungry. That's what got the Pharisees so mad. He would go and sit with publicans and publicans and sinners, where they were upset because he didn't go with the right religious crowd. But he was going with a crowd that had demonstrated a hunger. Are you with me? And so God is trying to create within us a hunger again. The problem with most of us, we're snacking a bunch of stuff. Then when mom makes a night meal, we come home and say we're not hungry. I mean, that ticks mom off. She says, I've been working in the kitchen all day and we don't have air conditioning in this house. And you come in and you tell me you're not hungry. Well, gee, well, I ate something down at Sloppy Joe's there that's made out of 95% grease and 5% hamburger. When then she gets all upset about the whole thing, and we fill ourselves with stuff like that that never satisfies because there's not room left to the hunger that God wants to bring within our spirit. And so we need to focus back on our hunger. What you heard your pastor get up to say today is there's a hunger in him. I don't want to see people half healed. I don't want to see people half touched by God. I want to see the power of God come into people's lives and transform and change them. Are you with me? So we need seasons of refreshing. So as I'm talking tonight, I'm saying, God, you got to refresh me in my life as well. Because I need that to come within my life. And so tonight, I just want to take a few minutes to talk about and prepare something in your heart to stir you, to prod you, to prick you, whatever, that you will open your heart and say, Lord, I'm a candidate for a season of refreshing. Because we all need it. We all need it. So Lord Jesus, I pray again, let this be a moment. God, I'm not asking for another Monday night service. I'm asking you to walk in here. That, Lord, whatever walls and every barriers, whatever hindrance would be broken down, that, God, that we would let you walk into our lives tonight, that we would at least, Lord, have something with us and recognize this is a moment that will make a difference. So my prayer tonight, Lord, may we not let this moment pass by. Because this is a moment for this house. These 4 days you've called and set aside. Because, Lord, after this building is built and all the work and the labor is done, God, as our pastor said tonight, it's not going to be that that's going to attract. It's going to be a moment like this where we're refreshed and renewed in the Spirit of God, that we enjoy what you have done, that we can be an influence to others. So, Lord, would you speak to our hearts? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm still in Mark 6. You there? Okay? I had to say all that to get this focused. Is that okay with everybody? We still here tonight? If you fall asleep, I give the person beside you permission to hit you. Okay. In Mark chapter 6, we have at the beginning where Jesus went back to his own hometown and he was rejected. The disciples were with him as they were walking with him now as he had chosen them. They saw his fame, his popularity. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 4, that his fame and popularity spread throughout the whole land, that people were coming by the droves to hear him, to see the signs and the wonders and miracles that were taking place. They were excited by what they saw in this man. They did not understand everything, but they were excited. They knew there was something different about this man whose name was Jesus. They come into his town and suddenly there was a negative blow. Where they thought that they would be glad that one of their sons has come home, there was the very opposite. You see, Sidney Crosby's from my town. When he comes home, they call him now the Halifax boy. Right? They bring him home and he's our son. Yeah. They bring him home. And as good as he might be with a hockey stick, he can't transform and change your life. And these men that were watching Jesus said, boy, the son is coming home to Nazareth. There was an expectancy in their heart that something was going to happen. And it didn't take very long to see that his own hometown rejected him. That brought up a whole lot of questions. Then Jesus sends the 12 out, two by two, to do works for the Lord. And some pauses came out of that. But then we find in the latter part of the chapter, it comes and it says this. It says that there was something going on that the forerunner of Jesus, whose name was John the Baptist, was now in prison. And a little girl danced, was probably very seductive when she danced, and she triggered something in this Herod man, who was king. And he said to her, what would you desire? I'll give you anything up to half of my kingdom. She didn't know what to ask because she was a young girl. She goes and she asks her mother. Her mother was ticked off at John the Baptist because he confronted her sin the way she was living. And she said, you go back there and tell the king, I want John the Baptist's head. And so they quickly go and they cut off John Baptist's head. It seems like just a matter of time. They bring it in on a platter and present it to her and say, here's his head. And the disciples were experiencing all this. One downer after another. And in the midst of that, we find that Jesus picks it up and he discerns that there was something that was desperately needed in those that were following him. And this is what I want you to get. Because I want to pick it up in verse 31. Verse 30 talks about his disciples gathered to Jesus and told him all the things that happened and what was going on. But the big things were happening is the rejection of Jesus in the hometown and the one, John the Baptist, he was gone. He was gone. And here's what Jesus says. Now look at this, verse 31. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. What he was saying to them, if I can use the word tonight, is saying, it's not important now for ministry. It's not about what took place when you went out two by two. It's not now about what you're going to do in your tomorrows. Right now, what we need is a season of refreshing. Are you with me? You see, sometimes people think God's a taskmaster. No, God knows how much we can stand and that, you know, we're not the savior of the world. He is. And so if he said to his disciples, hey, here's what you need right now. I need to pull you apart because you need to have a time alone. And here's what the points I want to bring in this verse. He said, come aside. You see, when we come together like we are for these 4 days, really it's the Spirit of God through the pastor that said something is important for us as a church. We've gone through some hard times. We built the building. Some of you probably put hours in here to get it here. And it's all done pretty well and accomplished. And I know what it is. When we built our first building, Pastor Paul and I, we did most of it by volunteer help. The first one we did all by ourselves, me and a few other guys and my brother. We worked and worked and worked. And it was all over. We moved in. We had a celebration. But we were tuckered out. And the last thing I needed someone to come and say, bless God, let's go take Halifax. Yeah, we wanted to take Halifax, but we were tuckered out. That's what happens to us. And Jesus recognized there was something here, and so the first thing he says, come aside. See, 4 days have been set that you come aside. Come aside from what? Your regular routine. Come aside from watching the NHL playoffs. Because in the eyes of eternity, that ain't going to do a whole lot for you anyway. Right? Come aside. Because I got something that I can only give to you when I got your attention. Because if I try and do it with all the other stuff, you're so preoccupied with this and with that, I can't get your attention because you're jumping here to do this and I got to do this. Have you ever tried to pray and say, I'm going to put an hour apart and 1,000 things come to you that you never thought of before? If you don't settle the thing, I'm putting this hour aside, and if the whole earth shakes, I'm staying here. You see, so God's called you aside. God's called you out of your regular Monday night routine. Because he knows what he wants to do in our lives. It can't be happened with a TV on or the iPod blaring. Man, most people can't even walk in silence anymore. When I get on the plane, everybody's got to have something driven in their ears. You see, we're afraid of silence because God just might speak in silence. God might say, what do you do with your life? So I got to preoccupy myself with a whole bunch of noise. Because we're scared to death. Do you know how many people go to bed with the television on? Because it's proven they go to bed because they can't stand being alone. Or it's here, there might be other voices that will speak. And so they keep themselves preoccupied with sound. And so Jesus says, I want to refresh a church in Dunville. They just built a building for my glory. The people that came together and said, hey, we're stepping into new territory. They feel like they're tired or worn out. And there's a big push to get things done. And other things that go on in personal lives. And he said, would you come aside? Are you with me in that? So he calls us aside because we need to recognize the importance. So we come aside and here's what he said. By yourself. Not with your iPhone. Right? We can't even go to church now. We think we're so important we've got to have our phones all the time. You with me? I tell you one thing that annoys me in church. I mean, pastors are some of the worst. When someone's trying to preach the word of God and put something in their heart, they're all there watching who sent them a text. I like to blow them all up. Because, friends, you need to know. He didn't say, just come aside. He said, come aside alone. I love getting away with my wife, but there's sometimes I have to get away all by myself. Are you with me? He said, come away alone. You see, that's hard for us. We live in a culture that's collective. We want to be with somebody. You know, most of us are not like, hermits. We want to be by ourselves. A hermit at us is almost weird. We don't want to be like that. But sometimes you have to have the hermit spirit come on you because God wants to refresh and do things. He can't do any other way but set you aside. And God probably knew, there's some things I want to do and some people in Dunville that I can't do on a Sunday morning. I can't do. Do you have a midweek service? Well, whatever time you gather, I need to call 4 days to set them aside for something. Where does he take you? He says, I want to take you to a deserted place. Do you know what? That grieves every one of us because every one of us hates a deserted place. A deserted place in this sense might have been out in the wilderness, but a deserted place is when there's nothing else there. Turn your TV off for 3 days and see how deserted it becomes. Stop reading the newspaper. Right? How do we get along without cell phones many years ago? Everybody got a hold of me when they died or were sick or something. They found me somehow. And now we think we can't lay it down for 3 days to a deserted place. You see, God's not trying to strip us of things. God's trying to get things away in a deserted place. Because it's a season of refreshing. He wants to do something in each and every one of our hearts. Why did he say that? Because the fourth point he said, because I want to bring you to a place of rest. I want to let you know that I love you. I want to let you know that I want to come and touch you. That there might be a season of refreshing. Look, come on, your spirit. I know what you're going through, John. And in a deserted place, I want to put my hand on you and let you know that I'm not forsaking you, I'm not letting you go. And though there's people that don't understand, and even you might not understand, in this deserted place, I want to give your spirit rest. That everything's going to be okay. Because he is with us. You see, in a deserted place, if it's not there, we're so preoccupied with everything else. And God wants to do something supernatural within each and every one of our lives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But you see, in our culture, that's tough. It's tough to have a crowd come together on a Monday night. Because even in church life, we don't want that anymore. It's not that we're trying to get, you know, brownie points with God. We're not going to get brownie points because we came here to church tonight. It's God coming and saying, I love some people that are tired and feel beaten up and feel that the pressures of life are more than they can handle. I'm coming to people that feel barren and dry in their spirit. But they love God, but there's not something alive and ticking inside. I want to come and I want to refresh and I want to revive. I want to renew something in their hearts. I want to rekindle the flame. I want someone to hear in the midst of it that you're not alone. I'm with you. I want someone to know it's not over, that I will make a way out of the mess. I want someone to know that their mountain that seems so big, that I'm greater than the mountain. I want someone to know that down in the valley that seems like there's no way out, I can make a way out. I want someone to know that where things seem crooked, that I can straighten out the crooked places. So God brings us into a deserted place. 4 days of refreshing. Because he just wants to talk to us. And the only thing he said, I'm bringing Ted and Paul Uke in to try and be the stimulant to stir it up. But friend, I can't stir anything up. All I can do is preach the word of God and hope that you get a hold of something that you'll take a hold of the refresher and say, hey, I hear what Pastor Paul and Pastor Ted are saying, and I'll push the button. I'll say, God, refresh my heart. Let there be a sound of joy that'll rise within my spirit that'll do something supernatural for the glory of God. Are you with me in that? See, Jesus knew what we need in our lives. Bob, that's what we need no longer how long we serve God. We need those moments just to get aside and say, Lord, we're here tonight on a Monday night because we're after your presence. Because in your presence there's fullness of joy. He didn't say it's in the excitement of the worship team. He said in his presence. There's fullness of joy. So he calls us aside because he cares for you. He wants to minister into your heart. Jesus went on with his disciples. And they saw great things that he did as he walked in their life. And then came the biggest tragedy that they weren't ready for, though he tried to warn them. He went to the cross. At that moment, it looked like it was all finished. Everything that they had put their heart into, they dreamed that this was their way out of the mess that they had faced for years. Some of them likely thought that he was going to deliver them from the Roman Empire because they didn't understand, and he tried to clear that up with them. But suddenly now, their hero, the one that led them out of misery in their lives, suddenly now is placed upon a cross. And he had the words, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and died. He told them about that there was going to be destruction of the temple in 3 days to be raised up, but nothing made sense to them. Then on the third day, the Bible tells us that he rose from the dead. I don't know if that means something to you. But I tell you, we serve a God that's not carved out of stone, not of wood. He's alive, and he lives within us. He never promised me a bouquet of roses, but he promised me he would never leave me nor forsake me. He never promised me a road that would not have potholes, but he said, if I'll stay on the road, I will get to my destiny. Just a few weeks ago, we had Easter Sunday, and I spoke in our church, and I spoke on the topic, God's empties are full of great promises. You see, because in the world today, people are promising, if you get in this investment, I tell you, it'll bring a promise of success. If you get a relationship with this young man or this young lady, you'll have success. How many people have gone into promising things and ended up seeing every promise being empty? God said, you'll accept my empties. It's full of promise. When I finished speaking, because I want to encourage someone with this, as the pastor was saying, we want to see miracles. I was speaking in India just the Sunday before, and I finished my assignment on Sunday, and I was doing two services. We finished the first service, and a man came up, and through an interpreter, he said, I'd like to talk to you, sir. Just an ordinary peasant, nothing that you and I would understand as wealth or whatever. He said, I got to tell you a story. This was Palm Sunday. And he began to tell me a story that encouraged me. And I thought, man, probably most people wouldn't believe this. And he showed me his finger as he stretched it. And he said, look at my finger. And he told me this story. He was working for a man just a few weeks before that, trying to clean up his yard. And he put his hand down to pick up a bunch of old wood and debris as they were trying to clean up the yard. And he took a direct strike from a cobra right in his finger. Almost drove the fang right through his finger. He showed it to me. I'm telling you, it was just like if you drove a nail through his finger. He took a full strike. He went home. And he thought, well, because they don't have money to go to a doctor. He went home, and eventually he fainted. His wife put him in a rickshaw and took him to a hospital, and they brought him in. And for 3 days, he laid in a coma. 3 days. In fact, the doctors told his wife, they said, we don't have much hope. He took a direct strike and a full shot of venom into his finger that's moved through his body. We couldn't get it in time where they lance and try and get it out. We just feel he's going to die. And he looked at me and he said, he was unconscious. But he said, on the third day. Oh, you can imagine how I got excited preaching on the third day. Because I read something in the Bible, there's someone else, something happened on the third day. On the third day when all demons of hell said, we're going to hold him down on the third day. Right? And this guy said on the third day, he said, I was laying there, I was unconscious, but I saw Jesus looking over me. And he said, when he looked over me, he stretched out his hand. And 3 drops of blood came out of his hand and landed at my body. When the third drop hit my body, I came alert, got up out of bed and said, I'm out of here, and walked home healed by the power of God. Hallelujah. You talk about a testimony. You talk about, now, if we told that at home, we'd probably say, well, that fang probably didn't have much venom in it. You look at his finger. I wish I could have brought you the pictures. So when I preached that Sunday in God's empty, something rose within me because I just came from a guy that gave a testimony. Hey, there was no one that could help me. I had no money to get through this. But on the third day, something happened within me. 3 drops of blood hit me and I rose up and I'm healed to give a testimony of God's goodness. God is no respecter of persons. You'll just do it in India. Well, that sparked something in me, and they came to me right after that. We had another service in half an hour, and they came and said, there's a house over somewhere that her husband died, and they said that she wants you to come over and pray for them. And I didn't know what I was getting into, but anyway, I said, okay, let's go. Went over to the house, and went in this house, and everybody was around there. You know, death was everywhere, and like a bunch of Hindus and everything, and she wanted me to come in. And so I just took charge and went in. I talked to her, and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry that your husband passed away, and I'd like to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And so I prayed and did my pastoral thing. I turned around because we had to go back to go to another service. And I turned around and something struck in my spirit because I just came about on the third day. A man said, I got resurrected the third day. I turned around. All these people are standing there with gloomy eyes and didn't know what was going to happen because the father died. I said, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to fringe in here, but I want to talk to you. I want to take 5 minutes and preach a sermon on a man who went down to the grave and came up that we might have eternal life. And in a Hindu home and in people that did not go, Jesus and Roman Catholics were there. I began to preach for 5 minutes. I didn't ask if they want Jesus. I said, I want every head bowed and I want everyone to pray that you need Jesus to come in your heart. And every single one of them prayed, we need Jesus in our life. Because on the third day he rose again, that we have victory in life, and he wants to come and refresh it within our spirits. He's alive. He's alive tonight. He wants Dunville to know we don't serve a dead God. You're not here to polish the monument and keep the doors open. You're here that you might have impact, because he wants the church to know that he's still alive and he's got something he wants to revive and refresh in your spirit. Hallelujah. Some of you are starting to get it. Some of you, I can see you're starting to wiggle in your seat a little bit. You're starting to get some life. I'm telling you today, God wants you to know that we're not in a place of despair and disappointment. We're in a place that we have a message. And if it's alive within us, we'll take it to a broken world. I don't know how I got off on that, but someone needed to hear it. God's alive. He's trying to refresh you and let you know that, boy, in the midst of all that you might be going through, he's still doing great and mighty things. He might have not rang your doorbell yet or knocked on your door, but I'm telling you, be faithful to him. The day will come. He'll ring your doorbell and he'll knock on your door and say, I've arrived, and he'll do something great. It might not be a hand over you, but he will come, because he will not leave us and he will not forsake us, for he loves his children. He will do something great in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He comes with seasons of refreshing to awaken something in every one of our hearts. I better get back where I was in the disciples. I didn't ever forget, okay? We'll get back to them. Jesus had died. You can't stay in death when you know he's alive. One of the hardest things for me on Good Friday, you know, because we had some people in our city went to a Good Friday service after the hours. You know, they just focused on the death of Jesus. It was gloomy. I mean, it was just like, oh God, our best friend has died. Man, we're on the other side. When you know he's rose from the dead, even Good Friday's exciting. Right? He's alive. I tell you, we need to know he's alive. Bro, he brings us together to refresh something in our hearts. The disciples felt it was all over. Jesus rose from the dead. I don't have time to build on this. But Peter finally said to the crowd, let's go back fishing. In a sense, what are you saying? He went back into a backslidden state. You see, Jesus pulled them away from that. He said, ah, man, everything's falling apart. Let's go back to what we know to do. So Jesus saw them this day. They're out in the water fishing. It says they caught nothing. He said, boys, you got anything? He said, we've been fishing all night. We caught nothing. He said, put your nets down the other side. They didn't have a clue who he was. Isn't imagine? They walked with him 3 years. And finally, one man spoke up whom Jesus loved. The disciple John said, it's the Lord. With that, Peter jumped out of the boat and ran. Because something changed. Now listen to this. They stumbled. They got weary, trying to fight this battle all by themselves. They thought Jesus was dead. It seemed like there was nothing left. And Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, he said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. Until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what he was saying? Can I use my words? He didn't come and lecture them. What's the matter with you? You walked with me for 3 years and now you're defeated and discouraged and running away. He didn't give them a sermon. He didn't say, let's get together and have ten nights of a course where how to be disciplined and how to grow up and be smart, not yield and give in to little wimpy little things. He didn't give them a lecture. He just said, boys, take a time out. get to Jerusalem. Get in a room. Because my Father's going to send the Holy Spirit a refreshing upon you. Then when you're touched by the Spirit of God, you'll never be the same again. 500 heard it. Only 120 responded. That 120 said, God, we love you and we know you're great, but we need a season of refreshing. He said, tarry in Jerusalem. And here's the part he said, until. Don't leave until. What's wrong with our culture today? We don't have patience to wait for anything. See, if we'd wait until. God wants to touch some women tonight, some men. He wants to refresh and renew. God hasn't called us together these 4 days to blast you, to necessarily correct you, to confront you. He's called you together these 4 days because he sees the burdens you're carrying. He sees the weariness. Because, friend, if we're honest, a lot of us, we just get weary. It's not we want to walk away from God. We just get weary of the fight, Bob. He says, there's a time when you're strong, you've got your defense up. If you just get hit all the time, it just seems like you just say, oh, I'll just keep hitting. It's numb now. Just keep hitting. We get weary. But somehow I feel tonight what I was supposed to share, and I wasn't trying to preach a sermon tonight that God is trying to say. Called a group of people together in Dunville. As my brother talked about this morning, he cares about this city here, this town, this community. He needs somebody that'll make a difference. He said, I'm going to call some people together for a time of refreshing to let them know that I want to come. And if they would just put their hand on the trigger, I want to bring my presence again. I want to refresh Lorraine. I want to renew. I want to take away the weariness. I want to take the hopelessness out of a heart that feels like nothing can turn around. I want to put life again where there's a joy in serving Him. There's a life that comes. I don't just dance because someone says, let's dance. I dance because I can't hold it all in my heart. Because as Paul, my brother, talked about, Jesus is so awesome. I want to refresh. Do you know the most frustrating thing to me is when I have someone that comes to my home and they might make a statement. They say, boy, I'm so thirsty. It's been a hot day. And say, hey, I got a cold Coke in the fridge. You'd like to have it? Oh, no. Oh, come on. No, that's okay. No. Well, I'm not going to stand there and beg and plead with them. Oh, come on, take it. You offer me one. I'll say, how many you got? Right? God's coming with a season of refreshing. He's brought us together on the Monday night. To ordinary people that go through the things of life, because he wants this to be a moment. Amongst all the moments that seem to be just routine, going to work, raising a family, and all that stuff. When I say routine, I don't mean it's wrong. I just say it's routine. But this is a moment where I want to touch and refresh and renew and revitalize the heart that loves God. Because, friend, if we open to that, it'll make a difference in our lives. It'll make a difference in our church life. It'll make a difference in our community. Because people won't come to see if your music team is hot or how attractive the pastor is. They will come because Jesus is in the house. And his presence attracts. His presence makes the difference. So do you know what he's trying to do tonight? He's not coming with another sermon. He's not coming with a pointed finger. He's coming and saying, hey, my beloved, I want to refresh you. I want to do something great. I was going to talk a little bit tonight about the whole thing until. The Bible is full of people that, until. David talks about it. He said, God, I can't be happy in my own house. I can't be happy with all the blessings you give me until I find a place where you can abide. He said, God, I'm grateful for this, but there's a ache in my heart. This is not what I'm after until I find a place that I can put your presence. Bring it back. Isaiah talks about all the desolation that came to Israel because of their disobedience, and he cries out. It says there, oh God, we're in desolation until you came to your sanctuary. You see, friend, God's asking us to tarry until. It doesn't mean staying in this building for 4 or 5 hours. It might, I don't know. But it means going home and saying, God, my heart is open that you do something fresh and new within my life. Because God, I need a season of refreshing. I just need to be refreshed. I need you to put your arms around me. You see, sometimes my wife comes to me, she says, Ted, just hold me. It wasn't anything went wrong that day. She says, just hold me. And I wrap my arms around her. I don't even have to say anything. I just hold her. I tell you, we got a God tonight saying, hey, I see your battles. But you have a pastor that loved you enough to call you together for 4 days because God's saying, I just want to put my arms around you. I want to refresh your spirit. I want you to have a fresh awakening. But see, the only thing that will make us respond is the hunger that's in our hearts. God, I can't live like this anymore. I want that in my life. And choose to let it happen. I was going to go off on some other things. I'll just say this and I close. A group of people gathered together at a retreat center for a season of refreshing. They just pulled themselves away. They needed God to do something in their lives. It wasn't that they were bad, or just life has a way of taking its toll. And we need seasons of refreshing in our spirits. God brought them together that he might do something great and mighty in their midst. And they had planned their weekend. They would have seminars in the morning, and then they would have lunch together. Then after, they could play baseball, go in the canoes on the lake, and all kinds of stuff were planned, play golf and whatever. And several days went like that, just a time to get away. On the third day, they asked an older man to get up, and that day he preached on seeing him who is invisible. He talked about having an encounter with this Jesus that Pastor Paul's been talking about in Colossians. We heard today in the book of Hebrews. And as you share with them about seeing him who is invisible, God came into the room. People whose hearts had become hard and indifferent, who had come just to escape from the things of life and have a little bit of church and play their ball game, whatever. And I'm not saying that's wrong, whatever. But that morning they heard, seeing him who is invisible. The man, when he finished, he sat down. Nobody got up to run to the cafeteria. Nobody jumped up quick to go and get their golf clubs to get to the golf course to play. Nobody ran down to the lake to get the oars for the canoe. But most of them left the sanctuary, and they were found all over that afternoon, throughout the grounds, down their hands and knees on a tree stump or leaning over a fence, crying out, God, refresh my spirit. Don't leave me like this. Because God, I can play golf and feel I can win, but it won't satisfy my life. I can get in the canoe and catch the biggest bass, but that won't bring fulfillment. God, let me see him who is invisible. It said the grounds changed. Because at that moment, people received a refreshing in their spirits. He's alive. He cares. He walks into the midst of us. And that whole week turned around into a whole different direction. What now was all about.